The Orange Catholic Foundation is pleased to bring you the following Father Spitzer homily.
Well, today's gospel reading really had a profound influence on the way the church developed within the culture. And it can't be underestimated, the idea of giving unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's. It almost provides the entire foundation point for a book written by St. Augustine, well over 300 years after Jesus had said this. And the book is called The City of God. And in it, Augustine sort of sets the tone for Christian theology and the tone for how we would, as both from a theological point of view, how we're going to reconcile the natural civil order with the divine order, the order of the church. For a long while prior to Augustine, until the Edict of Milan under Constantine, the church was persecuted. It was sent underground. It was, in a way, almost separated from the domain of Caesar. And what Jesus means by that is the domain of the civil order, right? The domain of governance, the domain of the natural running of governments and societies and cultures in the natural order. And so then all of a sudden, you've got this remarkable Edict of Milan, which puts a cessation under Constantine and his mother Helen, who was very much responsible for this, puts an end to the persecution of Christianity and makes Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire, this vast natural order. And of course, one of our all-time greatest theologians and philosophers, St. Augustine, is really the first one to take on this challenge in earnest. How will the church, the domain of God, how's it going to interact with this vast Roman Empire that used to persecute it, and now the Christian church is embedded in it thoroughgoingly? We hear the trite expression, the separation of church and state, and much has been written about this, and I certainly won't give it to you in this homily. But the point goes back to our scripture reading, our gospel reading today. As Augustine is wrestling with this in the post-martyrdom world, if I can put it that way, not to say that the church was out from under persecution. There are plenty of persecution, plenty of attempts to get people to sort of, be an apostate, plenty of pressure, from rival factions and religions during Augustine's day. But essentially, there was kind of this miraculous and almost instant blending of the social civil order with the ecclesiastical divine order. Faith and the natural order had somehow, the two communities had been blended together. And Augustine says, what's my starting point for all of this? I know there is something that belongs to Caesar, that belongs essentially to the civil order. And we have a responsibility, as articulated by our Lord. We have a responsibility to that civil order. We can't say we're Christians, we're canceling out. We belong to a higher order, a higher community. We're not going to get involved. Christianity de facto was involved. And so, of course, he says, we have a responsibility to that order. We have to try and introduce good into that order. We have to try and bring, yes, the fruits of our faith into that order. Does that order presuppose that everybody will be a Christian? No, it does not. However, it does presuppose, in some sense, that the fruit of Christianity, the fruit of the virtues of Christianity, the fruit of faith, the fruit of the virtues of the virtue of faith, that can seed and be part of the civil order and must be seeded in and influence the civil order, which is why the Christian church becomes the most influential organization philosophically and theologically to craft all the underlying virtues, all the underlying views of what's called the natural law, all the underlying goods for which civil society is oriented, particularly the highest good of justice, which all human beings by nature should know in their hearts, the natural law. And so, of course, we've got Augustine articulating this principle. However, we can't say that that the church or the divine community should be neglected by our being responsible to the civil community. We have to give to God what is God's. We have to cultivate our faith. We have to take the time to participate in the specifically Christian community that animates this civil community. And the whole set of rules to articulate this is really brought out beautifully in two chapters of this huge work, The City of God, by St. Augustine, which is later borrowed by John Courtney Murray in his articulation of the separation of church and state doctrine, which allows for, of course, our First Amendment. Our First Amendment comes from George Washington, but you have no idea, this is the Freedom of Religion Amendment, but you have no idea how that came out of St. Augustine, out of St. Thomas Aquinas, out of Francisco Suarez, out of the Catholic Church's articulation of inalienable rights, and of course, stand side by side, as it were, the church taking the fruits of all of the virtues intrinsic to Jesus Christ and our faith in him and bringing it to the culture in every way that we know how, through every mode of secular language, so that, of course, the culture, that the city of man, as we might put it, can resemble the city of God. And in this way, in a sense, we can render unto Caesar what is Caesar and unto God what is God's. Volumes have been written about this one little line of scripture, but Jesus authorizes us to render unto Caesar, to take responsibility for the civil culture, and at the same time, not take anything away from or allow the civil culture to undermine the rights of the Christian community. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to another podcast brought to you by the Orange Catholic Foundation.